Now, over the Christmas period, we talked quite a lot about signs. We talked about the shepherds following the sign that the angels gave them. Remember the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And then last week, the Feast of the Epiphany, we talked about the wise men following the sign of the star, or whatever it was that looked like a star that went before them. So God gives us signs and he expects us to follow them. It wouldn't be much good, would it be, if the shepherds hadn't bothered, they just sat there. Remember, I don't know if those of you who came to Christingle and heard the story of the sleepy shepherd that Bishop Stephen has written, who stayed behind because he was asleep. That was the story, the story that we told to the children. Wasn't much good for him. He didn't follow the sign. And signs are useful. We make signs all the time, don't we? Just thinking about the signs. If you could drive in Saffron Walden, past the cemetery and then going towards Tesco's, you come to the traffic lights there and there's a sign that points to the left to Ashton. And obviously, if you want to get to Ashton, then you've got to follow the sign. That's what you do, is you turn left at that point according to the sign. Just thinking about what's happening in Parliament this coming week with the follow-on from the referendum. If you think about it, the referendum was a kind of sign that Parliament gave to the people. They gave us this opportunity to vote as to whether we wanted to stay in the EU or not. The big problem with it, and that's what we're discovering now, that it was a very fuzzy sign. It was very unclear what it actually meant, wasn't it? And that's what they're arguing about now. It was like as though the sign that was pointing to Ashton at the crossroads was covered over with mud, so you couldn't quite see which direction it was pointing. And that seems to be what was happening. So signs need to be interpreted carefully but correctly. And if a sign is well designed, then it is clear as to what it means. Now, baptism is a sign. It's a sign that, not a sign that God gives to us in a sense, but a sign that we give back to him. When we are baptized, or when we are asked for our children to be baptized, we're making a sign to God about the intentions for our lives. And in fact, the sign of baptism, actually, according to the Bible, is very clear. It's not fuzzy like the referendum. It's quite clear as to what it actually means and where it's leading. But we still have to follow the path that it sets out for us, whether we're baptized as infants or whether we're baptized as teenagers or as grown-ups. Baptism in water is a sign that points. And it points, I believe, to three different things. It points, first of all, as John the Baptist said, to repentance, that our willingness to come before God and accept the fact that we do stuff that's wrong and that we need his forgiveness. And the sign is quite a good sign, isn't it? Because it's that sign of being washed clean. And that's what John the Baptist brought. But he realized that was only part of the picture. Because when people came to him, he said, there's one coming more powerful after me. And his job is not to baptize you in water, but to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus himself was baptized in water by John, then everyone saw this vision of a dove coming down upon him. It says in bodily form. So showing people that Jesus was being baptized with the Holy Spirit by the Father. And then we have those words, you are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased. Jesus, and I've said this many times, Jesus never asks us to do anything he's not willing to do himself. That's why he was baptized. He led the way. But he also led the way in the way that he was baptized and the way and what actually happened when John baptized him, to help us to realize what this sign of baptism is pointing to. So it is pointing to our willingness to repent. But it's also pointing to this wonderful business of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's something only God himself can do. Because the Holy Spirit is God. It's the part of God, if you like, that actually is active at work in the world. And we can receive this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. And baptism is our sign to God that we are willing to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So It's a pointer. Baptism in water then is a pointer, a bit like the sign down at the crossroads in Saffron Walden, pointing to Ashton. The sign of being baptized is a sign that we want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the reading that Rob read to us from the book of Acts tells about something that happened just a few years after the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, you remember what happened there? People accepted that the message that Peter preached because of what happened when the disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then, remember, it says 3,000 people from Jerusalem were baptized in water. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is for you and for all who are far off." And that includes us. So Jesus was baptized almost as a sign to his Father that he was willing to go through what was ahead of him, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But also Jesus' recognition that he needed the gift of the Holy Spirit to complete his ministry here on earth. And that's what's true for Jesus is true for every single one of us. None of us can actually live the Christian life. It's no point even trying without the gift of the Holy Spirit. Trying to be a good Christian on your own, God never intended that to be even a possibility. He always wanted for us to receive this wonderful gift to allow us to actually live the kind of life that he wants us to, because it just isn't possible without God himself living in us, working through us, to actually live a life that is acceptable to God. And this is recognized in our baptism service. What I'm saying to you is not just my opinion. This is what the Church of England understands. You know, in the baptism service, when we baptize either a child or a grown-up or a teenager, I pray a prayer over the water. Let me just read it to you. It says, "Bless this water, that your servants who are washed in it may be made one with Christ in his death and in his resurrection." That's about being identified with Jesus, being one with him, which is part of the sign that we have for baptism. "To be cleansed and delivered from all sin," that's the repentance. "Send your Holy Spirit on them. Bring them to new birth in the household of faith, and raise them with Christ to full and eternal life. For all might, majesty, authority and power are yours, now and forever." So in the liturgy of the Church of England, we acknowledge this, that when we bring someone, when we bring ourselves, or when we bring our children for baptism, this is the sign that we're making to God. This is the intention that we're making, that we're going to follow. But of course, we still need to actually walk that path. You come to those traffic lights in Saffron Walden and see the sign for Ashton, you've still got to go down that road to actually get here. And that's true for every one of us. We can make the sign, but we also need to actually follow through and to actually follow the path that the sign points to. And of course, too, in the Church of England, we have the sign of confirmation. A confirmation which comes later on in life. I was, I think, 46 when I was confirmed. I can remember it quite clearly, actually, in a church in Harlow. And the Bishop of Barking. It always seems strange to have a Bishop of Barking, doesn't it? But that's what the Church of the Diocese of Chelmsford has, a Bishop of Barking. And so the Bishop of Barking came and he confirmed myself and a number of other candidates. And actually, it's very interesting, the next day, I had a real sense of God's presence with me. It was as though something had actually happened that day. But it's not so much the sign that causes something to happen. We still need to have the faith to walk the path that the sign points to. And that is what we all need. So we need to actually be willing to walk the walk, to walk the path that our sign points to us. Now, I can presume most of us, probably all of us, were baptized in this church, perhaps as infants. But we still need to actually walk the path that that sign points to. So when we come to communion, I would be very appreciate to actually just lay a hand on each one of you. And I'll ask Barbara or whoever's up with me to actually pray for me as well. To actually pray that we can walk the path that's pointed to by our baptism, and that we can receive this gift of the Holy Spirit to enable us to live the kind of life that God really wants us to. And I'm going to pray in a minute too, using the prayer from the baptism service, for ourselves and for all those that we know and love, all that we have perhaps brought, our children or grandchildren that we've brought to baptism, to pray that that path that's set out, that's pointed to by the baptism that we've all gone through, to pray that that may be our walk in life. Amen.